pot, Daga, ganja, Mary Jane, Green Goddess, Wacky Tabacky, whatever name it's called, 39-year-old Angel Rach never dreamed she'd be sneaking around in the black market to buy marijuana.
You know, it's funny because I was very conservative before becoming a medical cannabis patient. I was really opposed to drugs and marijuana, alcohol, cigarettes.
Rach is the defendant in Ashcroft versus Rach, the Supreme Court case which will address California's right to pass such laws as Proposition 215, legalizing medical marijuana. Bill Panzer explained why the federal government is arguing against California's law. He is an attorney in Oakland, California, and co-author of Prop 215.
The federal argument is that the person growing marijuana at home affects interstate commerce because they tend to swell the entire trafficking of marijuana throughout the country.
But patients say the government should not be making medical decisions. Rach finally tried marijuana after suffering for years from an inoperable brain tumor, partial paralysis, a life-threatening wasting syndrome, a seizure disorder, and 9 different chronic pain disorders.
The cannabis actually first started controlling the pain. I started getting little twinges, little twitches. Then the next thing you know it, with a lot of forethought and a lot of cannabis, I was able to move a pinky toe. And then I was able to, you know, move a couple of my other toes.
But despite stories like Rach's, federal law still regards the possession or growing of marijuana a crime. Federal agents have continued to arrest cannabis patients and growers since Prop 215 passed in 1996. Rach was one of those affected by federal intervention.
I went to the Oakland Cannabis Buyers Cooperative because that was before they were, you know, had been shut down by the federal government. And I really started noticing the difference between the marijuana that you see on the street versus the cannabis that you were getting in the dispensary as medicine. And then the federal government shut OCBC down, and I ended up back on the street again.
Dr. Philip Denny specializes in medical cannabis at his practice in Lake Forest, California. He is often called as an expert witness in court cases and gives lectures on evidence he's collected from the over 10,000 cannabis patients he's seen in his clinic. Chronic pain patients are the most common cases Denny sees, most of whom cannot tolerate the side effects of narcotics.
The problem with the narcotics is that they're very good for acute pain. If you break your ankle, if you have your appendix out, boy, the opiates are great, lifesavers. We couldn't practice modern medicine without them. The people with chronic pain are in a different situation. The nature of the drugs are such that if you take them for a long time, it requires more and more drug to do the same thing. As the dose goes up, the side effects go up.
Large doses of narcotics, especially over long periods of time, can cause liver damage, and most can cause significant nausea and vomiting. Rach became suicidal from the debilitating side effects of narcotics.
I couldn't handle the suffering anymore. I wasn't sleeping very much. I was just throwing up from the drugs. I couldn't even hold my head up to throw up. I mean, I would throw up for 24 to 48 hours from one pill. I got to the point where I gave up.
But opponents argue that approving the smoking of marijuana for any reason downplays the risks of using a dangerous, illegal drug. Susie Dugan is the communications director of Drug Watch International, an organization based in Kansas City, Kansas, that fights drug legalization.
We are concerned with the culture that is created by all of this hype, and what does it tell young people? It tells young people that marijuana can't be so bad because it's medicine.
Denny, however, believes that opponents such as Dugan are arguing from a cultural bias rather than scientific understanding.
I also think that there is an element of fundamentalism that plays a role here. I really believe that part of this has to do with kind of the Protestant Calvinistic ethic that we're here to suffer on this earth. We're not here to have pleasure, and because one of the side effects of cannabis use is euphoria, it makes you feel good, that house somehow it becomes evil.
Dugan, though, says that no mainstream medical groups are calling for marijuana legalization, and the overwhelming majority of doctors do not write recommendations for cannabis.
It's kind of just a cultural thing. I'm saying we know enough about medicine now that we have to be more scientific. There are no medical societies or medical groups that are calling for marijuana to be called medicine. It's by a small group, again led by the whole drug culture scene, that is promoting it.
But Dr. Denny explains why many physicians avoid the issue altogether.
It's a very safe drug, and I think most physicians recognize that. However, I think because of the political uncertainty that many physicians are very nervous about doing anything that might label them as being radical or different than mainstream.
Dugan's organization vows to fight any state's attempt to legalize medical cannabis. And Rach says, win or lose, she plans to address Congress on the issue.
We are the patients. California, the states that have medical cannabis laws, really are the laboratory for democracy.
While Dugan worries about the message legalized cannabis sends the youth, supporters see it as central to issues such as the Terri Schiavo case or abortion rights. How much should the government interfere in people's personal and medical decisions? This is Pam White for Annenberg Radio News.